share with you my story? Would you share your God with me?
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. You're listening to WGN Radio. Thank you for that. Pete Zimmerman produces. This is John Williams, and I'll be with you all the way till 1 o'clock. Anna DeVlantis is in the house, and she'll be ready to talk to you at 1. We just got done with our Bright Side segment on our 9 to noon show where people call in and say good things about their life and their world. And I should have mentioned this. It's a bona fide Bright Side. It's somebody's birthday out there. Greg Messina is celebrating a birthday, and I know his family loves him, particularly his sister Beth, because she's been asking me the last few days if I'd wish him a happy birthday. And I didn't get to it during the Bright Side, Beth. That sheet of paper was on my desk, but now it's in my hand. So happy birthday, Greg, and have a great weekend. Best wishes to you all. You got good people around you, sir. It's 12:12. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Let's talk to Mark Hamrick now. Mark, when is your birthday? So I'll wish you a happy birthday on your birthday.
Actually, you're not too far off the mark, John. It's just 20 days ago.
That would make you the 3rd
October
of October,
yeah,
which is
exactly.
A lovely time of year to have a birthday, isn't it?
I would say at this point in my life, any time is a good time to have a birthday. But, autumn is nice here in the nation's capital. I'm looking at a beautiful maple tree losing its golden leaves. It's a reminder that time does march on.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. So as in the nation's capital, there any hope that we're going to get a stimulus soon? What's your crystal ball say about that?
Well, I think there may be hope, but I don't think it is anything that one should be betting on in terms of a near-term positive outcome with respect to moving this legislation forward. And, I feel like everyone's sort of entrenched into their position right now. Obviously, we know the election is less than 2 weeks away, and that really is the dynamic that I think holds the most sway right now, which if you believe that stimulus is needed, and I think most economists say that it would have a beneficial impact, and clearly the millions of Americans who are unemployed would agree that they can use some help. It's unfortunate for the American people that politics as a process is sort of taken a priority, but who knows what winds will be blowing come election day and the outcome there, but things could be either more of the same with respect to gridlock or there could be a transformative process underway. We're just going to see how that plays out.
We have seen, though, at least the rolling average on unemployment numbers go down, maybe not as quickly as people would want. I didn't mention this. Mark Hamrick's been on with us before, but if you haven't heard his voice, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Account Analyst at Bankrate.com. How do you interpret the jobless numbers?
I think that the economy has bounced back more quickly than had been expected. And I think that, you think back to when Secretary Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, was talking about the need for stimulus legislation early in the year, he was enunciating the fear of a 25% unemployment rate, which would not tend to be something that an administration in an election year would be beating their chest about, but that was to demonstrate the urgency of the situation. Now we are at a national unemployment rate of 7.9%, Illinois higher at 10.2%, and Chicago 11.3%. Those statistics can be sliced and diced as we do many times, but the point is that we're still at historically elevated levels of unemployment, having made significant progress. Not significant enough, however. And so, to the extent that we want to get the roughly half of the 22 million jobs that were lost earlier this year also restored, the question is, will federal stimulus or relief legislation help to facilitate that further or not? And I do think, this is not me trying to handicap the election. That's not what I do. But if the Democrats do sweep the Senate, and if they do win the White House, then I think it's quite likely that we will see even larger stimulus spending than might have otherwise been anticipated. I think it's one of the things the financial markets or investors are trying to get their arms around, which is to sort of ask the rhetorical question, is it sort of quote-unquote okay if stimulus legislation isn't passed now if they go bigger after Election Day, and we don't know the answers to all those questions yet.
I have to let you go, but I wonder if that happens, what that will do to the markets. The markets seem to be impervious to all of this. More stimulus spending, I presume, would be good for the markets, right?
We'll have to see. Long term, it could add to inflation. Right now the Federal Reserve thinks inflation is gone, for as far as their eyes can see, which is about 2.5 years. But that could obviously change the dynamic. But right now that's the least of the concerns. The major concern is unemployment, businesses failing, and obviously on top of all that is COVID-19.
That is the concert we hear from all of our experts. I appreciate your time. Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief, Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, John.
Speaking of local businesses, here is Sarah Padilla. She is a buyer and the manager at Foresighted Card and Gift. This is the Lakeview location. You can visit Foresighted.com to catch up with another local business. Let's check in and see how things are going. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Real good. Four locations for Foresighted. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
You're in Andersonville. You're in Lakeview. Where else are you guys in the city?
That's it, actually. We have two locations in both neighborhoods.
So did you have to shut down the brick-and-mortar operation? Are people coming in now? How's it been going?
We did have to shut down from about March, like mid-March, to I think it was mid-June when we were allowed to reopen. We've been open since June.
And then what's that like? I mean, was it a floodgate of people pouring in, or was it people kind of tentative and, you know, maybe only slowly trickling back in?
It was definitely slow at first. We also didn't want to, make a big deal about it because we knew that we had to run at limited capacity. So we were still kind of in that in-between phase of pushing our web store, but also opening our doors.
Yeah, right. Were you able to make up what you lost in foot traffic online? I bet that's difficult to do right away, huh?
Yeah, it definitely helped. You know, we had a great team that was available to add more and more product to our web store so that our customers could still shop with us, because normally our web store is like a very limited selection because we have so much product in the stores.
Right, right. It'd be hard to post all of that. But tell me a little bit about that. So the online presence, or for that matter, in the store itself, what are we looking at here? Like little knickknacks and curios and cards? What do you guys sell?
Yeah, definitely a lot of that. A lot of artwork, a lot of Chicago-specific products that people love. We put together like a stay-home collection, puzzles, books, candles, stuff that can make people feel comfortable in their homes.
Yeah. What's a good seller there?
Yeah.
I've seen your store. I go by it all the time.
Uh-huh.
We've been in the Andersonville location, by the way. So what's a good seller? What's a Chicago-themed or Chicago-centric thing that people really like at your place?
One of our best sellers that's Chicago-themed is our children's books. So anyone who has a family, that's a great go-to. There's like the Goodnight Chicago little board books. There's a really cute one called Larry Loves Chicago about a little dog that goes throughout the city. So those are really popular, as well as just Chicago, prints of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I saw that the greeting card business is $7 billion a year. I saw that Etsy saw a 23% increase in searches for holiday cards last month, compared with September of last year. You guys have some good and locally produced cards too, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We get them from a lot of different places, including local vendors. Cards are definitely popular. We saw that a lot, especially in the beginning of reopening, that people were buying cards for the rest of the year, you know, just to stock up. We definitely sell a lot of cards.
My producer Pete's wife makes greeting cards, and he was sharing with me some of them, and these are so good and so kind of either warm and fuzzy or funny, and never just trite or cliche, I'll add. So here's one. It's kind of got an orange front with a brown Well, I think that's actually the card, or is that a brown border on it? But it has a Thanksgiving coloration, if you will. And then it says, okay, ready for Thanksgiving. And then there's a little meat thermometer like you might stick on a turkey. And then there's also one of those little speed gun handheld thermometers we're all hitting each other in the forehead with. So so we're very temperature-centric this Thanksgiving, both with the meat and with those little temperature guns. And it's just a smile. It's appropriate.
Right.
There's one that says, stay home for the holidays. Just shows a pretty dog with a red kerchief on in front of a fireplace. The same dog in another pose, simply looking at you, and the caption reads, well, this sucks. And we can relate. So kudos to him and kudos to you guys. So any news then on the front for you? I mean, how's business going now?
Business isn't great. We have so many loyal customers, so many regulars, and they are just so happy that we're open. So business has been really great. I mean, obviously we are still running at a limited capacity, but our customers have been very understanding about all of the policies in place. So we are starting to set up for holiday. You know, we've done Halloween, which is almost here, but going to move into the other holidays.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
We're out of time. Foresighted Lakeview. There's two locations in Lakeview, two locations in Andersonville. The one I'm looking at right now is on North Broadway, 2939 North Broadway. And you can find their website. It is foresighted.com. Foresighted.com. Sarah, good luck to you guys this holiday and going forward.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Let's talk about another business. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. This is Catherine Amin. She is the owner of the Picnic Basket in Libertyville. Visit picnicbasketfood.com. This business is not only a restaurant, but they're also a catering business. Let's catch up a little bit. Catherine, you're on WGN. How are you today?
Great. Thank you, John. Thank you for having me.
I have to tell you, I chuckled a little bit, and it was at your expense. Can I tell you why?
Sure.
Well, I was just reading a story in the Daily Herald, and it says the Picnic Basket restaurant has been a fixture in Libertyville for 39 years, and that you were able to keep 12 of your employees on with reduced hours. And then the quote at the end of this story, you said, I'm not sure if any of the aid packages will help us. It was when people were applying for those government loans and grants. The last two sentences are, the first 2 weeks I dealt with it 1 hour at a time. Last week I was 1 day at a time. Now I'm dealing with it until hopefully the end of April, but I think it may go a little bit longer. And I thought, oh boy, that was us in March, wasn't it? We just didn't know how long this thing was going to go.
And it's still evolving daily, believe me.
Yeah. It went past April, Catherine.
Oh, yes, and it may go past next April for all we know.
I was thinking that, yeah.
But we will adapt. That's what I've learned, to be flexible, to be adaptable, to be creative, and to be customer friendly.
What's your menu? So when folks order either for a party that you're catering it or in your restaurant, what kind of food do you have?
We have also, in the restaurant, we have all sorts of homemade from scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, wraps. Everything's one of a kind. Our chicken quesadilla is three times the size of anyone else's chicken quesadilla and 10 times as good. Nowadays everybody has special requests, and we try and accommodate those special requests. Vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free,
yeah, right,
so forth.
I imagine the catering business has dropped off significantly, huh?
Yes, very significantly. But many of those, we do a lot of weddings and social events, and many of those have rebooked for 2021, and hopefully they'll take place in 2021.
Are you seating customers in your restaurant?
We are. Right now we're at 40%. We were at 25%. We went up to 40%. Lake County, which is where we are, is holding its own, so hopefully we remain at 40%.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lake County is not one of the four? I thought Lake County was one of the four counties.
Lake County is still doing good. Our numbers are good.
That must just be complicated or difficult for somebody like you who runs a restaurant. I wonder, do you make a profit at 40% capacity, Catherine?
We've been fortunate. A lot of our business has always been takeout. So that's been good. And with the pandemic, it's much more takeout. But we were very flexible and adaptable. The first day I heard about the lockdown, I ran to our local printing company and got banners made that said picnic basket grocery, which fortunately I never had to post. But I thought, you know, at that time I had a walk-in full of food. And what am I going to do with it? But we were able to maintain for takeout, so we didn't have to do that. But we're always trying new things. We've introduced family dinners, which have gone great. We sell our soups by the quart. Our soups are homemade. People love that. And coming into winter, that's been really good. So we just keep trying different things every day. Some work, some don't.
Did you participate or would you again in a second round of government loans or grants, payroll protection, that sort of thing?
I did participate in the first one. I don't know if I would participate in the second one. I'm kind of waiting to see what the payback, it's truly what the situation is. I'm fortunate I own my building, so I don't have a mortgage, which is nice, but I do have employees, which are like my family. Many of them have been with me for a long time. And so I want to make sure that they're taken care of.
Have you laid people off? It said in April you were reducing hours. What's your staffing been like?
We reduced hours in April. I've maintained everyone. And through the summer, we were okay. So everyone was working 40 hours a week. However, we'll see what the winter has to hold. You know, when it's cold and rainy or snowy, people aren't quite as inclined to come out. One thing we did that was really successful, we popped open a window on the side of our business, and it's our walk-up window. So people don't have to come inside the restaurant. We just hand their food through the window. And it's been fun. Customers like it, and we like it too. And we're going to keep that going all winter long.
If they in your county reduce restaurant seating capacity, I know that you're describing your business as takeout and carryout now, but I wonder what that would mean or how you would feel about a further reduction in the seating capacity for restaurants.
Of course, I wouldn't like it, but we'd work with it.
Yeah, I guess that's really, that's pretty much the only attitude you can have. I mean, you can tell your congressman or your state representative, or you can shake your fist at the governor, but either way, you're just going to have to be flexible and adapt, right?
Exactly, exactly. And we're getting very good at that.
Well, it sounds like it.
You have no choice, you know.
I'm hungry for some soup and a sandwich right now, so maybe when I get out of here, I'll buzz on over to Libertyville. The Picnic Basket Restaurant is still doing it. It's nice to talk to you. Catherine Amin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, John. It's been a pleasure.
On the Wintrust Business Lunch, like the attitude. It's 12:42. Let's continue with more business news. This is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago businesses face new COVID-19 restrictions starting today. Mayor Lightfoot has ordered non-essential businesses to close at 10 p.m. Liquor sales must end by 9 p.m. Any bar without a food license must suspend indoor service. Businesses that don't comply face fines and possible closure. Google plans to hire 10,000 workers in Chicago and three other cities over the next 5 years. The company has declined to say how many of those positions will be in Chicago or what types of roles will be filled. The Tribune had previously reported that Google was nearing a deal to add 800,000 square feet in two planned developments. Those deals were never completed, and Google backed off the plans earlier this year. Macy's says Santa Claus won't be greeting kids at its biggest U.S. stores, including Chicago, San Francisco, and its New York flagship store, because of coronavirus. It's been a holiday tradition at Macy's for 160 years. More than a quarter of a million people come to see Santa at Macy's in New York each year. Santa will still appear at the end of the televised Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Jonathan Mayers is our next guest. Let's talk about one more unique business up and running in Chicago. He is the co-founder of something called Superfly. I just want to say, Jonathan, I am forever championing Chicago, and particularly downtown, because I come and work downtown every day. And I think the city is beautiful, even on a rainy day. It's accessible, and it's safe. And I'm glad that you guys are doing this Friends experience in the city.
Thanks, John. Well, I appreciate being here, and, you know, we love being in Chicago, and, you know, we hope that the Friends experience brings a little bit of joy during this challenging, difficult time.
You guys opened at the first of the month, and this is at Ohio Street and Michigan Avenue. It's right downtown Chicago at the Village, the what do they call that, the little shopping area, the Shops of Northbridge or something like that. And there, that's what it's called, right? And so tell us a little bit about this. I mean, what do I see when I go to the Friends experience?
Yeah, so the Friends experience, fans immerse themselves in the show. You feel like you're on set, and it's a combination of set recreations, props and costumes, interactive moments. We have a retail shop that's got all sorts of exclusive merchandise, and the experience itself is about 45 minutes, and tickets are available at friendstheexperience.com.
So what do you do? There's no food, or do you serve food or beverage, or it's more just sort of a walking set experience?
It's a walking set experience, right, that you walk through all of these different rooms. There's 12 rooms in total, and it's a really fun experience. And if you're a fan of the show, and there's so many of them, this is kind of the ultimate experience to celebrate the show.
I presume you have the recliner, Chandler and Joey's recliner?
Of course. We have Joey and Chandler's apartment, Rachel and Monica's apartment. We have the fountain scene. You'll be able to pivot within the space. And then we have a fully built out Central Perk as well.
Is there a stage where I can sing Smelly Cat?
We'd prefer if you didn't.
Yeah, right. Is there a stop where you see people posting more, say, on Instagram? Like, I wonder what the highlight of the experience is based on what you're seeing.
Yeah, the experience is, like, made up of where people are taking photos all throughout. And so we're seeing Instagram, Facebook, just tons of photos, people having a great time, you know, and being in these classic sets and show moments.
So people kind of recreate the scenes then, or mimic what they saw on TV?
That's right. They can do their own style, but you're actually on set, right? So you're in Joey and Chandler's apartment. You're on those recliners.
When I asked, though, if there was a scene or a set piece that is most popular, do you know what I mean? Like, is it the sofa at Central Perk? Is that maybe the one must-have stop?
Yeah, there's two. One, the orange sofa in front of the fountain scene, like the opening credits of the show.
Yeah.
It's kind of a classic, iconic moment. And then I would say Central Perk, which is, you know, they kind of start and end the experience. But to me, those are kind of like the wow moments, but I think it's all great.
Do you have to get licensing arrangements with the producers of the show, or is that not necessary to do this?
Yeah, no, we're working directly with the studio, which is Warner Brothers, and the show creators. So this is an official experience. And again, we have original props and costumes, all sorts of kind of behind the scene moments and a look into the creation of the show, but this is an official thing.
It's at Ohio Street and Michigan Avenue downtown, friendstheexperience.com, friendstheexperience.com, $35 plus taxes and fees. And how's traffic been? Are people coming downtown?
Yes, you know, we've been doing incredibly well. You know, the format itself, it's small groups of people. You do have to wear a mask. We have social distance markers, but, you know, it's for us, it's key that we're providing a safe environment for the fans and for our staff. So, but business has been really great, and so we're really proud of that, and we're thrilled to be in Chicago.
I'm glad you decided to do this. I mean, because you knew full well, you started probably, I presume, building it in September. It opens at the end of the month, 1st of October. So you knew going into this what you were getting into, right?
That is true. You know, the pandemic for us was definitely a hurdle. But for us, it's you know, what we do is hopefully we bring these joyful moments. And we thought that as long as we could provide a safe environment, that we wanted to be out there and we wanted to give something for people to do.
7 days a week. Are you open every day?
Right now we're open Thursday through Sunday. And, you know, you may see us around the holidays open up a few extra days given the demand. But we're there through January the 3rd.
What a good idea. Jonathan Mayers, and again, Friends the Experience, downtown and ready for you this weekend, friendstheexperience.com. Thanks, Jonathan. Well done.
Thank you, John.